Big guest right now, the head of the world's largest hedge fund, joins us in an exclusive interview. Ray Dalio is the founder, president, and chief investment officer of Bridgewater Associates. Bridgewater currently has $150 billion in assets under management. Ray, we're thrilled to have you.
Thank you.
Good morning. You have been on our show several times now, and we have started dialogue around what you call the economic machine. It's your theory of how you see the marketplace, the world, the economy. It's been praised by people like Volcker and Bill Gates and other people like that. And part of my understanding of the theory is that there are short-term cycles and long-term cycles. The long-term cycle, I would argue, is probably bad given the amount of debt that we're just building. But when you think about the short-term cycles and where we are now, when you start thinking about the U.S. and Asia and Europe, How do you see your economic machine applied to those markets?
Well, the first thing, I'm going to get to answer your question in a minute, but in a second. But I do want to convey that I think that we go so quickly to try to think what's the economy going to do next year without agreeing on how the machine works. And the economy works like a machine. And the only reason I'm doing this interview and the only reason I did that video, how the economic machine works, is so that to draw attention to how does it work? Because if we can agree on how it works, then so many other things come from that. So that's, we'll talk about what I think is happening now and so on, but within the context of that. The economic machine is nothing more than a transaction. It's a very simple thing. If I buy something from you, I can buy it for money or I can buy it for credit. And when I buy it for credit, over a period of time, a credit is a promise to deliver money.
Right.
And so we begin a cycle. And in that cycle, there are two cycles around income. At the end of the day, you can only spend what you earn. But that's not true over the short run, because you can borrow money. And so around that income growth is our debt cycles. And there's a short-term debt cycle, which we call the business cycle, we're used to, recessions, expansions, and then tightening of monetary policy and recessions again. And with that also produces market cycles around that. So I'd like to put where we are in the context of that.
Okay.
Sorry for that background, but at least we can then look at the world that way. So now where the U.S. is, because it could print money means the purchase of financial assets went up a lot. And as a result of them going up a lot, future expected returns went down a lot. So the return of equities has gone down to probably about 4%, and which is, by the way, in line with cash being about 1%, bonds being about 3%, return of equities about 4%. So that liquidity has happened. We are now in the middle of the short-term debt cycle. In other words, you're out of the recession, and you're not into yet the tightening. Those middle periods are kind of the boring years. You know, they're the years like 2004 and 6. You forget that they even existed. What happened in 2004 and 6? You'll never remember. 2007, 8, you remember. So we're in that kind of period in the United States. Europe now...
The markets went up incredibly between 2003, 4, 5, and 6, right? The equity market.
No, 2004, 5, and 6 were boring
were
years.
Flat?
Markets didn't do anything.
Were they flat, Joe?
They started going into the,
They were flat.
They started moving into the financial crisis.
The returns in each of those years were single-digit returns, hardly doing anything. Boring.
We had 15 years of nothing, almost.
No, but I'm also referring to those particular years.
Right.
In other words, you take 2000. 2000 was a period, we had the recession, we had the thing, then you pump it with liquidity, then you get the bull market, the big bull market in equities. And then in that middle period, when things are not too tight or too loose, then you have that period. So that's where the United States is.
I would suggest we can only go down from here. Meaning
no,
and then down.
No, you're in that middle. That means that the central bank's got leeway, not too tight. But that's where we are, and that also means probably pretty boring for equities. Also, you look at the return. There was a big gap between cash returns and bond returns and equity expected returns. If you look at yields, what would the expected yield be? And that normalized. I'm just talking about the U.S. Now let's go to Europe. Because, by the way, all these countries are in very different parts of their cycle, which is the interesting thing. So now Europe, Southern Europe, because it could not print money, could not have the same reactions that we could not have that response. And as a result, what happened is they were in a debt bubble, meaning their debts were rising faster than income. If there's one thing to pay attention to, is debt rising faster than income? Is debt rising faster than income? If debt is rising faster than income, it can't do it forever, and it won't do it, and if it's doing it fast for a long time, you're going to have a bubble. the United States debt is not rising faster than income now,
right,
equilibrium. And I'm talking not government debt, I'm talking about the total debt, if you take all the sectors of the economy. In Europe, it was rising much faster than income and unsustainable, so you couldn't fund it. If you look at who buys the bonds, they wouldn't buy the bonds. There's not enough money to. So they had a funding gap. They needed to have an adjustment to bring debt right down to income. Right now, what happens is, in terms of, they only have to roll over the debt. They don't have to sell a lot more than they sold before. And so that's an easier thing to do. And so, but that's a depressed economy,
right,
because you can't finance it on debt. So they are in a chronic depressions, essentially, depressions, that will remain there. And then there's a fiscal policy and monetary policy. The ECB will have to ease another monetary policy, but a very different position in the cycle. Now take China, totally different position. So China is in the part of the cycle where they need to tighten. The debt is rising very fast relative to income, particularly certain sectors of that debt. And so what you're having is a tightening of monetary policy, and you need to have a tightening of monetary policy. Now, all the markets and all the economies are connected. So what does that mean? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It means that we're, in brief, we have a world in which we have an enormous amount of liquidity. Liquidity means that people want to buy financial assets. So we build up the prices of financial assets, and they're not too high, they're not too low, they seem to be appropriate. But we also have a lot of longer-term debt. You were referring
right
to that. That longer-term debt means it eats money.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it requires
mm-hmm
money to pay for it. We have a lot of liabilities that are unfunded liabilities beyond the debt. That eats money. And we also have a world in which there's excess capacity. A lot of the capacity was built in China, a lot of the capacity was built in the world, around the world. That produces a deflationary pressures. So we're in a world with a lot of liquidity and also a lot of also deflationary pressures existing at the same time. I want everybody, if they can, though, to watch this half-hour video, How the Economic Machine Works. I'm here at Davos with policymakers, and we are discussing the most important,
right,
the central banks and so on.
Yeah.
And it is all around that. It's 30 minutes. And if people can understand that, I think it would help them a lot.
Okay. Ray Dalio, thank you. That video is on YouTube. We should tell everybody so you can.